everybody, and just what God is doing. Again, don't forget that this Friday, the New Year's Eve, extravaganza, seafood, all you can eat, is this week. So we want you to come in. The grill will be out, and we'll have a good time fellowshipping. But everybody's going to minister that night, even the kids. So children, y'all get ready. Pola, start us off. With what happened during the year. All right, so we'll go from there. So we're looking forward to that coming this week. So let's go there. Are you with me? All right, let me give you this word. I just believe that God is getting us ready. I don't know if y'all can sense in your spirit, but, you know, I feel like this is a prelude to the new year.
Yeah.
It's like we wanted to step over Christmas.
Yeah.
We didn't really think about it. We all know. I didn't preach it. You've heard it before. I don't know how I worded it. It's not about his birth, but living in the purpose of his birth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you living in that purpose?
Yeah.
Because if you're not living in the purpose of his birth,
yeah,
then he just was born. Now, most of us have been around the church for a while, so you know that the Catholics and people have made it look like it's Jesus in a manger, and he just some little, you know, y'all know those things ain't true, right? Now, we ought to be able to know that. That it's not Jesus in a manger and the three Hebrew boys, not the Hebrew, the wise men. I done forgot the story. And they came by night. You know it's more to it than that. That's his story. But the story that Christ, that God wanted us to really get the essence of and live for year by year, is the story that, listen, I'm about to send my son down to the earth so that he can live in us so that we can change the world.
Amen.
So Christ don't have to just be a religious story that help you out in a good luck charm and a cross on your chest or on your neck and say Jesus is Lord and he's second to one or second to none and all that. No, Christ wants to live in us and explode on the earth now. The only way we can know that is we know the purpose of his birth. What was the purpose? Why did he come to the earth? Whenever you don't know the purpose of something, you'll abuse it. Anytime you don't know the purpose of something, you'll abuse it. That's why information is so important. Of how you begin to understand what God is trying to say when he was born on Christmas Day. You know, obviously we know that Christmas probably wasn't the day that we celebrate. But that's not important which day we celebrate. It's not important when we got 90 or 80% of Christians coming out of the church spending to get a Christmas that is going to take them 6 or 7 years. Marriages will be broken up over Christmas. Why? Because these people begin to spin outrageously just to walk in. They say, Mama, here you go. I got you this coat. I got you this scarf. Only to borrow the money from Mama 2 weeks ago, later. Say, Mama, can I get $10? Can I get $60? Asking for the same money back. In other words, I'd rather my children treat me good all the time. And leave the birthdays alone. But when you celebrate something that's not really, you don't understand the purpose of it, you go right into your in Walmart just like everybody else. Just go. And I didn't say don't go get stuff. I'm talking about when you got to go and let their beat carry us. Their current begins to carry Christians. Like we don't know the reason for the season. We just like them. Well, they're in the world, but we just like them. Bringing gifts. What are these gifts for? Who being exalted? I know not with our mouths, but I'm talking about our action.
Yeah.
Where is the Christ in Christmas? Where can we say that? When are we getting together to spend time to worship him? When are we going to bring our gifts to him if it's his birthday? Or will you habitually keep doing what the world doing and thinking because it's a good feeling? You know, that spirit just come, boy, strong in the world. Some of y'all is even hard to resist. Because you feel like, I got to do it like them. I got to, you know, hopping John is for New Year. You see what I'm saying? Ain't nothing wrong with tradition. But I'm saying when you begin to do things just because other people do it, you drink their poison and don't even know what's in it. Christians, we got to be Christ-like. And I believe God is calling us from here on out to be a model when it comes to Christmas. Make Jesus the center. Are you with me? When Jesus was a little baby, he was a baby. He began to grow. Many of us know the story where he began to go to the temple and Mary them came looking for him, and he said, I must be about my father's business. And then he began to grow. And we know the story that at some point he had to go to the cross. He went to the cross. And then, you know, it wasn't the fact now Easter come around. So they make it seem like Easter is not the fact that he died, it's the fact that he got up. Buddha died. Muhammad died. But none of them got up out of the grave. So you got to live in that power of his resurrection. It's not enough for Jesus just to do it and be loyal and give his life. There's a lot of martyrs. There's people in the military that give their life every day. But the difference with Jesus is that Jesus rose from the grave. And when he got up out of the grave, he said, all power. He was our lamb. The Bible says he became poor so we could be rich. So our Christmas ought to be every day. Now, I'm for real now. I'm not trying to pump you up, and I don't want you saying amen if you don't believe it. But I want you to know our Christian or our rejoicing should be every day. Why? Because that same living Christ, you know the Bible says this, Jason, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. It's in us. It's in us right now. That same power. So even greater works will we do now. Not just sit in this church and pray and say, Lord, going to do it and fix my life. No, I'm talking about shaking the foundation of the earth. I'm talking about going to Charlotte, North Carolina, and when we leave, signs and wonders begin to change. I'm talking about America being rebirthed. I'm talking about a company of people that will rise up and begin to say, you know what, there is a spirit world that we are ignoring here that's real. That if we begin to tap into that spirit world with the authority given to us, we'll begin to see things on this earth. But that's why we just don't get hype over Christmas. We let the hypocrites go during Christmas. We let them go ahead and feed the poor during Christmas. Why? Because we'll be doing it the rest of the time. We'll be pushing that plow the rest of the time. When we get out to these crusades and y'all out there, we out there 3 or 4 times a week and hitting it door to door where we can get up in North Charleston. Don't worry about them drinking and all that. Don't get in all that. You just say the word. Just prophesy. We don't even want to look. I want you to learn how to witness with your eyes closed. Just sit there and talk to him. Say, God gonna raise you up. God gonna raise you up. God is doing something. See, God just needs vessels that are sitting in the way. So when the move of God breaks out, we'll be in position to cause things to happen. Not sitting there in the church, getting on our knees, praying. And talking about, Lord, gonna help me and Lord, pay my bills. And all. No, we're gonna pay other people's bills. We're about to take a city. I want you to reposition yourself to allow God to show you what I'm saying, because next year, in about a week now, the waters will begin to move quicker. The waters will begin to move. God's movement toward his end time is about to happen. And he's looking for breakthrough people. Christians can stay home. And as I told the pastor last week, you know, we're looking for soldiers. We don't want people that's in the hospital and they're on the wheelchair. We didn't say they're going to hell, but that ain't what we're looking for. We need battle warriors. We need people that'll be able to take a lick and keep on ticking. Without that, we'll just be sitting here praying like everybody else, Keisha. Being led by our moods. Being led by how we feel. Circumstance driven. If it looks good, then yeah, we'll do this. Well, it don't look like that. Well, they say when you get out of college, you follow money. No, well, God don't say that. God said we're going to teach our children to follow their spirit. Not to follow some intellectual guru who's going to lead them astray. No, we're going to follow God. What is your spirit saying? What is God saying? Because this is how God's going to begin to revamp our society. Are y'all with me? I'm telling you, that's why I can't sleep at night. That's why it stirs. Because I know you feel the same way that God is about to explode on planet Earth. He's about to explode. Something is about to happen. Let me tell you what Isaiah said right here in the 61st chapter. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me unto good, to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of our vengeance of God, and comfort all that are mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And this is all God is saying. But we have to begin to position ourselves. You know, and tonight I want to just give you a few things on how you're going to position yourself to get ready for 2011. How you're going to position, because everything that comes at you, either going to cause something to happen to you, or you're going to cause something to happen to it. But one of the things you cannot do is you cannot continue to be circumstance driven. You have to become an environment changer. I can't tell you how many times I walk into prison and I look and I say, you know, the men have got to begin to see that God is more than what it is. But how will this happen? It'll happen because many of us begin to position ourselves. Are you with me? The first thing you got to do if you're going to position yourself, is you got to open up yourself to the newness of God. Open up yourself. And some of you, what I mean is continue to stay open. Because some of you stay open in church, but you go home and your environment of home is not conducive to what you feel here. And it causes you to almost be like a hypocrite. Yeah. You don't want to be in your heart. But what happens because you go home and you don't change your environment. If the holidays is coming, if people are coming over, you get there and you change stuff up for what is to come. You got to prepare the way for the Lord. How is he going to move in so much chaos? God will never bless mess. He just can't do it even if you wanted him to. He won't do it. But what he can do is say, go and begin to prepare yourself. Mentally, spiritually, this is what you use 24 hours for. You just don't go to work and that's it. You use your hours to prepare for the day of the Lord. In 2011, God's going to move like never before among people that are open and they stay open. Stay open means you go to the grocery store, Lord, wherever you want to do. I'm not trying to be no misfit, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, I'll do anything up in here. I'll be in the movie theater and the Spirit of God will start moving. I go to the car and I go after work during lunch. Revival will break out. Why? Because you stay open to the move of God. You stay open. Don't rule your children out like, well, there ain't no way this can. At the dinner table, open up the scriptures and begin to prophesy to one another. Don't stop. If you don't stay open, you won't be prepared. Some of you go some places, you get around with some people that said before, I'd rather be hated for who I am than to be loved for somebody I'm not. Because some of you go certain places and you feel just as crippled. You can't say stuff. People holding you hostage. Guilt. You got to get free of that. You can't hold nobody down. If you mess up, you say, Lord, forgive me, and I'm moving on. Remember this. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. Only the devil come to accuse. God don't accuse. Only the devil will come to point everything out to make you feel bad. If you bring something up, it's to help you to grow. But when you feel like somebody is telling you something just to get at you, to show you down in the gutter, and I'm up on the high hills, then you don't need to be around people like that. I don't care how wealthy they are, what they got, you leave people like that. Those kind of people will kill you. They'll pour water on a drowning man. I never seen Christians that'll do that. We're the only people that kill our wounded. You don't get up as a Christian and say, I'm just going to, hey, I think I'm going to hit my wife today and I'll just be done with her and I'll smack the children. You don't get up like that. But Christians, we think that that's the case and we nail people. We give nobody a way to get out of something. If we never been through it, if we never heard it, then we act like there's no other way it can go out. You know, you got to be now thinking. You never been on crack. So how you know how it is to be addicted? And you talking about all you need is Jesus. I take that Bible and throw it at you. Show me, give me more than that, man. I'm strung out. I need, if you're going to talk like that, you got to talk with some power. Don't talk about no scriptures. Just say the word. If you're going to be Jesus, be Jesus. But if you're not, the world is saying, shut up. But we don't want to take our time with nobody. Why? Because you're not open. Everybody got to be like you and the way you grow up. How people see it because you had a mama, you had a daddy, or you didn't have a daddy, you didn't. Whatever your case is, you got to look at the whole world through your eyes. As though no other way you can get there. How many know it's bigger than you? When you come into this culture called a kingdom culture, that's why it's so important that y'all drop your bags and don't come in here with all that. You know what you've been through. We know I give you 30 minutes and you can give me all of that. But after that, I'm going to tell you where we're going. And you got to make up in your mind that no matter where I came from, it's not where I came from, it's where I'm going. It's this culture called the kingdom culture that changes us. It's not you giving all these testimonies. I used to be on drugs. Because the fact of the matter is, if the kingdom in you, nobody will know you've been through nothing. Because all they'll see is Christ. People won't even see that. You want to know if God's inside of you? People don't even know you ain't had a daddy. Because you didn't plug them in there. You want to know if God, people wouldn't have said, you've been on drugs? No, they won't even believe you. They won't even believe you've been on drugs. Because when they look at you, say, no, not you, not you, not you. You have to tell them and show them why. Because God already cleaned you up. If you're not open in 2011, you're going to miss the opportunity. for God to use you to minister to people. You're going to try to say, come to my church. Come to my church. We ain't got enough room in here. I'm telling everybody, come here. We don't have it. We're not trying to get people in here. We're trying to get them out. God said, go into the world and preach the gospel. Not sit in here and keep camping out and counting how many people we got. You know, I was sitting there listening to a story. I don't know, Anthony, who you was talking about, but whoever it was, the limo, it was Eric. It had to have been Eric. I know your story through Anthony. He was talking about it on the phone, but he was telling me how Eric talking to a guy that was on drugs and heard a man calling Eric, 50, 60 something years old man, calling him to come. And the first person he ever confided that he's smoking drugs on methamphetamine, what you call it? Meth, whatever you call it. And Eric's sitting there trying to find a way to tell the man to come to church. Until something clicked. Yeah. That man may never come here, but you there. Yeah. And the man has opened up to you, no matter why he did it. Yeah. Obviously, he saw something beyond a church. Yeah. Obviously, he saw and hear this man spilling his guts. So Impact Church was where? At Barnes & Noble? Yeah. Right there. Yeah. Changing lives. Forget about the walls. Be open. When you go to work, that's why I don't understand how y'all can go to work and let the work just keep you down and all the people. Don't look at all that. Just do the work with your eyes closed. Make sure it's efficient and you're working, but wait till the next person come by and say, Lord, when they come by, I pray something or just ball them up and let them feel something. Rub and touch at lunch. Just touch and say, Lord, I'm looking for revival to break out. Why? Because God, you know what? I know you're inside of me and I know you want to break out in the earth. And Lord, I'm open to be used by you. If you start thinking like that, your life will be changed. Here Eric was ministering to this man on drugs. Talking to the man, he confided probably and never did. Probably didn't even tell his wife that before. Oh, he wasn't married? Oh, well, his girlfriend. If he on drugs, you ain't know what he doing. But he's confiding. At that moment, Jesus stepped out and began to reach. Now Eric's words are pivotal to taking the devil out and bringing God in. Why? Because now that man came looking like Nicodemus. He came looking. And some of us trying to say, where's the church? Yeah, Impact Church is located here. I don't even know the address here. Why? Because if you meet me, you're going to meet Jesus. But this will not happen because you open, you're not open, you're up and down. Those of you that got moods and let the temperature show you this. You're happy one day. I don't like people like that. You don't know who's going to show up. They're happy one day, then they're sad. And it's this time of month, and it's that time of month. I said, come talk to me when the month is good. Because I just want to hear good stuff. I don't know how y'all feel about that, but I got vibes. I can feel when negative vibes come. You're mad at the world. Listen, if the car break down, get another one. If the house burned down, there's a lot of houses here. The earth is the Lord. Stop putting your treasures in these earthly stuff. You know, you got to begin to get yourself pumped on something called joy. Joy is a result of your spirit. It's something that you know, your joy will make you laugh when everybody crying. Your joy will stir when all hell break loose. You just start laughing. You say, oh, yeah. Why? Because you know that what is in the inside of you is going to break out somehow. You don't even have to know how it's going to happen. But when you're generated by these moods, you'll never be open. Kids can make you go crazy. Your spouse, I don't let my wife make me mad. It don't work like that. I can't do that. She can get mad and I say, Lisa, you go ahead to your room. But don't do that with me and these five children in here. Because it don't work like that. Why? Because this joy, yeah, to your wife that I got, that you, the world, you didn't give it to me, and you can't take it away either. When the children act up, when they act up, you got to go. You got to say, no, sweetie, I don't give you the opportunity to do this. This is above your pay grade here, sweetie. You can't swing me in and out. I know you can cause hell on yourself, but you can't bring it to me. Why? Because I'm rooted in God. There's something stronger in me. And anytime you want to get it fixed, just plug in. Why? Because I'm an oasis of God. You got to stay open to be like that. Because I don't want to sound like King. But we got some difficult days ahead. In the natural. Some of you, we're going to be confronted. People not going to like what we say when we go to the school board and say stuff. And Jason, you and Shamika, when y'all go, you know, and y'all do the reports, and there may be an issue that I feel strong about, you got to say it. There's no waving in it. Abortion is murder. You don't float that boat. See, that's what got us in this dilemma. Let me tell you something. Anytime there's not gray area, our children, they become victims of our gray areas. When there's no right or wrong, the children have no protection. In our schools, you got teachers that know better, Sunday school teachers that are walking past in the very school with homosexuals and don't say nothing. They teach Sunday school. Know something is going on and won't say it. Talking about they bound by the law. Well, you change the law to the word of God. Because let me tell you what the Bible say. When the righteous are in authority, the city will rejoice. You want everybody to be happy and joyous without it being no tag to it from the devil? Get righteous people in authority. You ain't got to worry about that. If we got the right mayor, and the right governor, the right people in the right, because they know when to say no to this. Yeah. The buck stop here. They can slide it this way, Obama, whoever. They can wrap it like this and say, people like it, people are different today, and I represent the people. You have to look at them and say, well, we ain't voting for you if you're not going to vote for this. Yeah. And I'm going to tell all these people I got influence with in the spiritual world to back me, because you're not going to say this. Christians, we got that authority. Not a man, but us as believers. That's why we're going to show up at their meetings, Jason. Shamika, we're going to go. We're going to be present. But guess what? That means we got to stay open. You got to stay open, Jason, so the Lord tell you, just stay back a little longer. So when they walk into the car, maybe you got a word for them. Maybe you give them a word. You don't give them no happy-go-lucky word. You don't tell them God going to prosper them and all that. You tell them what God is saying. Yeah. Give them the same thing you're hearing me say. Don't make something up. It ain't no other spirit. It's just one spirit in the house. You drink it from the same faucet. Don't come with nothing different and blessing the people. We're not blessing them. They've been blessed enough. We bless our children outside of all of God's provision now. We got a generation that's out of control. They're killing. Friends are killing friends. And we sitting there talking about we can't do nothing about it. There is something we can do, but Christians have to be open. You got to stop shutting down your spiritual eyes because you're around the church. You don't know what God got a word for somebody here. Don't stop. Let God continue to open yourself. Are you with me? Yes. If you're going to get ready for 2011, open up. Yes. Stay open. Do not go home. Do not go. Choose your friends that enhance you being open. In other words, pick people that when you get around them, they open you more. Yes. People that shut you down. What does that mean? People that's always needy. Some of y'all don't know the difference between needy people. Here you are about to go to war. Getting your gun. You already scared. We don't know where we're going. We just know the Lord say go. And here somebody come. Hey, man, let me have this. Told you about the girl in college. Y'all remember that story? Every time she'd come around, Keisha, I can't remember another, Keisha or something like that. And she, every time she come, people walking away. People come to want to borrow something. You borrow stuff like ketchup. She want to hold your car to go to Virginia. Home for the break and stuff. Spring break, like, girl, you ain't holding my whole car. And she's serious. Can I borrow your VCR? No, my VCR going to stay here, man. You know? And that's how some of y'all friends are. They're taken away from you. You got Job friends. Every time you talk to them, you got to give them something. Y'all think being there with somebody is just when they're in the hospital, you was there. No, there's more to it than that. I don't want you when I'm down. I want you when I'm up. I want you to add to me. But while I'm scared, I want you to speak to me and say, you know what? I know you might be a little afraid, but God is with you. Let me give you this word. Go on out there. I know you're a little afraid, but go on out there because God is with you. But some of you, you know why you forfeit friends like that? Because y'all want everybody to like you. If I talk to somebody and they disagree with me, y'all can't get over that. Somebody hurt your feelings. You'll never have real friends like that. Leaders live like that. I don't have no friends that I like everything they do. I got some of my closest brothers, Pastor Stephen, he's an introvert. You have to pry everything out of him. But in the spirit, ain't nobody can sharp like that. If you sit down and have a conversation, you almost have to hit him. Man, say something. You don't want to talk. I mean, we eating. You don't. But when you get him going in the spirit, I give him up for 10 people that talk a lot. They ain't saying nothing. Just because I know they win, but they just talking. But when he talk, your iron comes in and sharpens iron. Are you with me? But some of y'all pick these people just because they go to church and they got a prayer band or they got money. Some of y'all get duped because people are business people. Don't be amused by stuff like that. I like to call it kingdom connection. Let God bring you these people. But you got to be ready. Are you open to that? Are you still somebody when you get your feelings hurt, you're done? You draw back. Some of y'all, even among y'all here, y'all go and then somebody says something to you, then you draw back for weeks. Don't call. Most of y'all, when I rebuke y'all, I say something about your personal life, I have to call you. How you doing? And that's all I'm doing. You all right? Keisha, how you doing? Everything going good? You have to hear it. Because some of y'all ain't even mature enough to say, Pastor, I got offended by what you said. If you got offended, you got offended. That ain't going to change what I said. But it allows you to know where you're at so you can get stronger. Why? Because one monkey don't stop the show. Me either. You're not going to come and disrupt everything that we're doing. No, we started off in this little house, and I want to see this thing happen. Johnny, you saw in the picture where people coming in the Coliseum and all these people, religious people, all these people coming. I want to see the end. Yeah. I want to see the end when the mayors and the lawyers and all these people beginning to come to look, not coming to the church because they need to get some kind of grocery, but they're coming because they don't have direction. And they know that the direction is coming from the portal that comes from people who know their God. That's why we got to stay open. Stay optimistic. That's why I'm asking you to position yourself for 2011. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Stay open. Some of you, when y'all get moods, you shut everything down. Just because it's in the middle of the night. That don't bother. 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not saying every night, but why not? Why God can't wake you up to start praying? Why he can't do that? He's God. Why he can't tell you this time, you know, before you go to work today, I want you just to take this time off and just spend with me. He's God. Obviously, he's trying to get something to us. You know, with God, we can't just say, Lord, we love you and get there. Everybody didn't say that. But you prove to God your love. What did he say? If you love me, obey me. You can't say you love God and don't obey him. And some of us, we think that because we had a salvation experience. And God touched us. And we know that touch was real. You know, sometimes we go preach or wherever I'm at, you hear people get on the podium and they're like, well, I know God real. But we ain't say he's not real, but God want us to go beyond just him being real. Is he flowing in your life right now? If God is not flowing, then the world is going lacking. Are you with me? So let me give you another thing that you got to make sure you do if you're going to prepare yourself. You got to prepare yourself by making sure that you have times of worship. Because many of us say we love God, but we don't worship him. You know, when you worship God, it's different from reading the word. Because you can read the word to correct your life. It's like you're aligning yourself. But when you worship God, it's a total surrender. Your heart, your mind, your spirit just saying, Lord, I love you. Sometimes it's good just to get on your knees and cry out. God told, he spoke to me and he said this. The people who know God, they'll be worshipers in 2011. You won't be able to know them by just reading his word. Y'all ever heard somebody that knows the word? Creflo? Come on, let me give you Mark 17. Turn over there. No, I'm just talking to you. Turn over there. Go to Luke 16, 28, 19. David said this. All right, while you're over there, turn this. You didn't hit 15, 20 scriptures. But what happens? It's the word without the spirit. It's just intellectual. It's no fulfillment. You don't have no life in that. Why? Because you're hearing scriptures and logically it's a game. Because it's the same game that the world play with Christians when it comes to Christmas. Just do it because everybody doing it. It sounds good. It's a holiday where you love your family. Go ahead and just flow with it. You got scriptures. He's a good teacher. Anytime you read God, you feel like you want to burst. The power of God in the word will bring life. It ain't enough just to know the scriptures. The Bible says the devils know the word. Y'all know that. You can go. I go to the prison as soon as I open up the Bible. If you say something like Romans 10:9-10, if you say anything, if thou can confess without thy mouth and believe in that, they'll finish it all. You only need to know half scriptures when you're preaching in the jail. Because they're going to finish it off. But the life,
yeah.
One thing that the devil cannot imitate, he can imitate this all day long. He can't imitate a holy, controlled life. He can't imitate that. He can't imitate a spirit-filled life. Because a Christian who's living this life is like a nickel. When you cut it in the middle, you're still going to get silver. This is it. And you can't duplicate that. You can't copy that. Are you with me? So you got to become people of worship. Make up in your mind that you're going to worship. Worship is not gospel music. Worship is not you just singing along and going like that. You got to work. You got to put time into worship. I didn't say worship all day, every day, but you ought to have 3-4 times out of 7 days where you spend time in worship. Because it's in worship that God is doing the work. You know, when I was in the Baptist church before, we used to have this saying, before God, before service, speak to God. During service, let God speak to you. After service, speak to others. And that's a good saying, isn't it? We used to wear that on the back of our back. But that's true. Where during worship do you allow God to fill you? You don't get that by saying, Pastor, give me a word for me. Some of that will be our selfish ambition, just wanting something to help fill our void. But worship is selfish, selfless. It's when you come and say, I don't care what you do for me, Lord. I'm going to worship you because you're God. This worship is not predicated on whether you pay my bills or not. It's not predicated on what you do for me. This worship is based off who you are. You're God and I'm the Son, so I'm going to worship the Father. Come hell or high water. Real Christians will worship in times of stress. You don't worship. You want to get some fragrance out, you know, the alabaster box that was broken. You don't sit there and waste your time. When royalty or God is before you, you say, no, this is it. I'm not going to spend all my money on things that don't matter. I'm going to put it where God is at. I'm going to take my time and use my time to be valuable like this. But that comes in times of worship. I want us to be a church that worship. More so. I know you do. You come home from work. Don't get in there because I know how it can be Friday. You got the check on this side. Or direct deposit, Keisha. Whichever one we do. And, you know, oh, I got to do this. It's Friday. Don't do that. Break it up. Make times of worship. Friday night, worship. I told y'all in college, man, you know, me and my friend Bosky, they'd be coming in from the clubs. And when they're coming in from the clubs, we'd be in there worshiping all night long. Bosky used to play Yolanda Adams, that song, which one was it? Yeah, something like that where it goes, yeah, I can't remember it. But he used to play that, he used to just cry, and I'd be sitting in there. And I remember me and Bosky sitting there, and I'd say, Bosky, you need more, man, because your heart's so good. But at his church, they didn't teach tongues. And I remember one night, laying hands on him, and Bosky got filled with tongues. So I had me a buddy on Friday nights. They would go to the point, Johnny, I'm not lying, that our door was so saturated. Worship is how God started doing the supernatural. They would stumble on the first floor into our room, by our room, 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And some of y'all been to my house, you've seen that cowboy's jacket. That came from one of the guys, Jamal, his blanket. His grandmama died. He started drinking from Baptist Hill. Jamal was drinking so hard one night, he bumped his head. Didn't know. He slept in the same bed with me that night. Didn't even know. Because he was drunk, and the Lord led him. He comes straight to the door. Brad, my grandmama don't want me to do this, man, but I won't turn it all over, man. I just want to turn it all over. I don't know. Worship. Bosky couldn't understand to run Bosky out because he wasn't to the point where he understand. He ready to call the police and all that. Say, man, this opportunity for ministry, man. Plus, he from Charleston, bring that boy in here. And we lay him on the bed. And all that night, I remember praying in tongues for over 3 hours over Jamal. Just praying in tongues. Lord, do something. I don't know what I'm doing, but I know tongues is something greater. Yeah. I know he had to hear it. To this day, he'll come seek me out. It won't be 2 or 3 years or months. He'll come seek me out. Thank you. Pray over my daughter. You know, he got shot up in here a few weeks ago or last year or something and called and wants you to come. Why? Because during the time of worship, you want to see things happen where you don't know why people come up to you and start giving you stuff and doing. No networking now. I'm not talking no networking here. I'm not talking about you know this and this one know your uncle. I'm talking about when they just coming up. And basically when they come, all they got on their head is the Lord sent me. Start worshiping. Because worship gives you the fragrance of the heaven. It puts the fragrance of heaven around you. And wherever you go, the aroma of God just stems. And that's when the blessings begin to come. Stop chasing after natural stuff. We're not natural. You got to begin to pursue things that are in heaven. Don't worry about no bill and all this stuff. If I live to see another day, God is about to do something in me. If I got 5 more minutes, let's see if God's going to do something. Why? Because he's a miracle worker, y'all. And he's not a man that he's going to lie to us. Are y'all with me? That's why I don't want us to be normal going into 2011. I want everybody to settle that we become worshipers. Spend time. Don't put no hodgepodge way of worship. Set your time apart. Treat God like you're in love with him. Don't give him halfway time and then want his full attention because you're in dire need. I never seen so many church people. I'm not talking about people in the world. Church people get into a rut. Into a jam. They don't come to church. When you telling them the word, they ain't there. And then they want to have prayer for all this stuff. I'm not praying for you.
No, that's right.
Because you weren't there to receive what God had. You got to worship. Stay before God. Provoke his presence. What Jacob said, Lord, I'm not going to let you go. See, you got to get determined like that. I ain't letting you go with these kids now. These kids have done enough, Lord. Now I'm telling you now, they're looking bad on the natural, but I'm about to pull something down in the spirit. I'm about to pull something down because I know that the seed of the righteous shall not be delivered. My children cannot go to where the world because they're godly. See, you got to settle that in your mind. You let the devil tell you, well, this can happen. Well, things can happen to all children. I ain't saying what can happen. But what I'm telling, they ain't going to go to where the world. If God is in them, they don't, children who know God, their life, don't stop and leave the house and say, well, I knew God there. I think I'll go with the devil here. No, they continue what they know. The problem with the old church is that we thought they knew God, but they knew the form of godliness. If you put God in them, they will walk with God.
Yes, they will. Come on. Yes.
And when they begin to stray, it's our job to begin to call them. Yes. You got to call that seed back.
Yes.
Don't sit there and keep saying, well, why this happened and all that. Get the devil out first. Are you with me? You ain't going to have no fortitude to do none of that when you ain't worshiping. You what I'm saying is, all right now, I understand now, but that the church stay on this lane, I'm going to go on. Why? Because worship matures you.
Yes, it does.
It makes you see that spiritual things are real.
Yes,
are you with me?
Amen.
So again, I want us to become worshipers more, Max. I want to be a worshiping church.
Yes.
Not just corporately, but individually.
Yes.
Most of you don't worship enough. You're like today. How much time did you give Jesus before you got here? Or did you like food and cooking and all that? You can't do that. You missed the point. What about God? You put him first. Before my wife, before my children is God. Because what if something happened to them? God is the only one who can keep you. He comes first. And your children and spouse, when they see that, it'll make you a stronger leader. Not saying God first. And then you're doing something else. Because some of us, you can't say the Lord is the Lord and then send them to church. You got to go yourself. You can't tell, well, you know, we rising up in government and we taking the city. And you ducking phone calls from people in the church. The children watch that. And you wonder where it come from. It's what they see. Tell them I ain't here. You have to change that. Are you with me?
Amen.
Be a worshiper. Worship God. Worship means simply, y'all, Father, I thank you. I love you. I praise you. I give you the glory. Father, I come to you because you're God. You're excellent. You're greater. Sometimes y'all hear me say this. You got to say it too. You're greater than my job. Whatever you feel like combating, you say, you're greater than my children. You're greater than my spouse. Lord, I want to put you where you're at now, because beside you, there is no other. There is nobody getting the glory. And see, when you keep doing that, guess what? Your life will start lining up like that. Conviction will come first to kind of change it. When you get off base, you say, oh, you said God was first. And because you're worshiping, you'll turn it. Your spouse, you get into a little spat, and all of a sudden, that worship come, that residue from worship will hold your tongue. So hold on, you just came out of worship, now you can't, you're back up. Children about to, you're about to go get a board or something on these kids, and all of a sudden, you've been in the worship, it'll change your mind. I can't do that, I can't, I'm in worship. Why? Worship is what brings the heavy conviction for you to correct your life. But if there's no worship, you don't love God enough to do it. You'll just do it because somebody telling you to do it. And that never lasts. You got to serve God for you. Not for me. Not for the church. Not because it's the right thing. Not for your mama. You got to serve God for you. You got to say, God, I want to know God for myself. You got to know him like that. Because at some point, you're going to get to a place in life, you got to know him for yourself. It was told, I think y'all know, Martin Luther King, who had all these threats, years and years, but this one particular night, he got a threat that they was going to kill his whole family. And he turned over, he said, man, I drank some coffee, but I couldn't shake it off that night. He said, I had to call on the God for myself that night. Because nothing can shake. See, you'll get into something in life that'll cause you to say, God, I can't wait on the book. The bookstore is closed. Pastor got too many kids. Let me go ahead and pull on you right now. Let me call you up directly. See, when you know him like that, he begin to make changes in your life. See, that's because you're a worshiper. I don't have to feed you the little bread and just like baby food when you become a worshiper. I can begin to give you meat and we can begin to take cities back. See, you can't just grow up by just knowing knowledge. Because knowledge itself will not mature you. It only lets you be a better lecturer. It'll let you know a little bit of knowledge. Because God knowledge means you do. God growth means you do. Maturity means you do. Remember what Pastor Derek was saying? The meat is what? To do. It's not enough just to say, you know, Impact Church, we're changing lives and this and that. No, no, no. We're not going to quit. There ain't no Christ in our city like they see a billion served on McDonald's. Yeah. We not going to stop until we done got our knuckles just messed up from trailer parks everywhere taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. You know, we not going to stop. So I want you to get ready for this train. It's about to start, because if we not going to stop, you can get push off. You know, when I take the kids to the park, sometimes they get on that old merry-go-round, and Asia, and I think EJ, boy, one time I put them on and they just swing off there. Like they couldn't even hold on. They just swing. But that's how it's going to be for some of y'all. Because you got to, if you don't stay before God, what we doing is going to be too much for you. Because you're going to try to grasp God through your infinite small mind, saying it don't take all that. Y'all too small. But where you find less than 50 people that's reaching the nations of the world? Where you find that where we can own this building in 3 years? 3 years. Paying less than what we've been renting. Why? Because I call that God's hand.
Yeah.
That same hand. That's why when you come on this Friday, I want you to count your blessings. And if you have to, count them one by one. I want you to have them counted. Let us know what they are, because those are the things that get you rejuvenated for what's to come.
Yeah.
I killed the lion. Ain't that what David did? He didn't look at that Philistine the way he said, but I killed the lion. The stuff I use don't lose.
That's right.
So if I whip this same batter up with him, what's going to change?
Yeah.
It wasn't the bigness. David never looked at him until he looked at him through God.
Yeah.
It changes your perspective of life. That's why I don't understand how some of you can go through life, but I've been dished this. And I had to. There are people in worse situations than you. A lot worse. Come, I want some of you, when you come with me to West Africa, to where Pastor Mark is at, third world country where the people don't have food, don't have nothing to eat. The clothes and stuff. I'll pack my suitcase in February and take as much as I can take. But they don't have it. And we just sitting there talking and what we don't have. There's a lot to be thankful for. So why are we complaining? You can't complain. Worship keeps you in the right perspective. You know what worship do? Worship allows you to reprioritize and keep the priority straight. God first. Because anytime you worship and you get before God, everything else looks small. Is anything too hard for God? That's how you think when you worship. But when you're not a worshiper, you always want notes. You want somebody to pray for you. You need help. And if that don't happen, you fall off the church. Because you think God ain't real. God want to change the earth, but before he changed the earth, he want to change us more. Are y'all with me? So those are two things. And like I said, I'll stop there because that's what I want us to do for the new year. As we get ready, as we go to Charlotte, you know, the lady got all of the broadcasts now. We'll be airing in Charlotte starting in next week, right? Is it next week? Okay, so next week we want to get ready because we're not going to Charlotte to preach. We're going to take cities back. But I want to know if there's a company of people here that will not just cheer me on, but will come and be strong in the spirit in your life. Be strong. Build up. It starts now. It don't start on that Friday when you come because you take off. It starts right now. How strong will you be in the spirit? How strong will you be? Or will you just come and just take the ride and sleep? Or will you be one of these ones that's getting visions and dreams at night of what God's going to do in Charlotte? Will you be one of those people? God can only use prepared people. I think it was Billy Graham that said if he had 3 years to live, he would take 2.5 to prepare for it and that last half to do the work. Preparation is never lost time. I can't tell y'all how many times that I've been in that big old church in Charlotte and didn't know what I was doing. But the thing that leads you is obedience. You just got to obey not everything, but what's before you. Whatever God telling you to do now, David, just go on and tend the sheep. You don't even know you're a king. You don't have to know that now. Why? I'm fixing you up internally. Just go on and tend the sheep, because one day I'm going to say, get up, wipe that fur off. I'm taking you to the palace. Why? Because God's man has to be made. They're not born. Internal configurations. You got to get strong. That's why some of y'all got to stop rushing and running from things. That's why you got people in the church. They think they there because they've been there for so long, but they're not no stronger. All you got to do is take a little love and stick them and you'll see. They still telling you off and all of them people, you might as well leave them alone. They can teach Sunday school, but can't take nothing. Some of you, you know, you want to know you're strong, you can't let a little car. You come home and the house been broken into. Some of you won't even know some of the stuff that happened to people of God. When you're walking with God, it ain't even worth it. You'll be so close to death. But you don't go back. Why? Most people, that when they're not like that, they just rah, 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 rah. Hey, let me tell you what my testimony is. When God is with you, you're so hungry to see. That stuff don't matter. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil. Are you with me? So get ready. Jason, can I count on you? Can I count on you, Johnny? Can I count on you, Kelvin? I'm counting on you, especially the men, to rise up. Rev, for us to rise up, to be men that will affect our nation. When people come to this church, when I say come, outreach, they look for families. You know, because we young, you know, there was, you know, most of us are in our 30s or so, they're going to look. Because you know what they want to see? They want to see the proof in the pudding. I know I would want to see. You talking strong. Let me see what y'all boys doing. So your life is vital. You ain't saying you ain't got no problem and all that. But it's the way you deal with stuff. Some of us this year, again, ain't going to be saved just in our action. We're going to be saved in our reaction. When the unexpected happens, we can still react like Christians. Because some of y'all think that it's just going to happen good. Man, listen, the devil ain't going to just sit here and give it up now. But we got to be so tenacious that we're just going to say, you know what, it don't matter. Because we're having done, now y'all see these scriptures, what it means, having done all, stand. That's when the devil keep coming at you, and it just seemed like you got your last leg, but your leg just sit there and rooted. No, my child, you got him by the pants. No, he ain't going. He going to stay with God. Yeah. Don't come here telling me that. Sell that somewhere else. And you sitting there looking crazy. You do it. Why? Because you believe God. Our children will rise up. And one day they'll look. Dominique will say, where's the God of my parents? Where's the God of my father? Why? They've seen it. They didn't just hear it in school, but they seen it. Where's the God of my mama who's been doing this? I see God work through her. Not just struggle, but I see God take her. See, those experiences will cause the children to begin to see a God. And one day they'll call on that same God. Don't may not look like it now, but you'll see. God has promised us that. That's why I can tell you that our children will not go the way of the world. And don't let them do that. Put a demand on them. Are you with me? All is come. When them children come in and worship, they can worship. Stop letting them think they can't worship and they don't know. They can prophesy just like you. I ain't never teach y'all to prophesy, did I? But everybody in it can prophesy. Why? You learn by the Spirit. You learn by being in the midst of it and pushing the mic in your face and saying, what is God saying? You can do it. I remember Rosario, when she first started talking, y'all, she wouldn't get nothing out. But now you can hear fluently. Even when we was in, what's the town? Cartagena? No. Where were we was at? Cincinnati. Then? Oh, yeah. When we was in South America and she interpreted, y'all would have been like, good Lord. Why? Because you're learning in the Spirit, just being with it. Yes. Just get with it. Just get with it. Yes. Everybody got to be like that, even our children. Yes. Our children will not only just be there with us, they will become our strongest allies in the days ahead. Yes. They're going to be our biggest help to take this. That's what I'm saying, man. Just spend the time. I know some of y'all, if I can get y'all to come with us, some of the places. But we ain't doing this for nothing. No. Most of us, like I said, we didn't come out the club just to be here and play church. We want to see the power. Yeah. The fullness of the power. Yeah. See, one day we're going to see the fullness of the power. See, we see little inklings now. But one day, Shamika, we're going to stand up and we're going to speak. And our words will begin to even move and create what God is saying. In the fullness. We see inklings of it now. But we'll see God in the fullness on the earth. That's why I want y'all to be with me. We're going to be together. We're going to be strong in the spirit. I want us to be a strong church. I've settled it out about being big. I don't want a big church. I want big people that are in the spirit. If our church get to 200 or 300 at the most, that's how many people I want under one roof. And then one of y'all will pastor another group. Why? Because I don't want that many people. I'm not even looking for that because it's too hard to kill or to clean that much fish. When you got too much fish to clean, nobody get to eat. So I'm not amazed by crowds. I want to know the strength. Crowds can come, and that's fine, but I want the strength. How many of us can get strong? That's what we need to focus on. Are you with me? Come on, let's stand to our feet. Father, we love you. We appreciate you.